What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
Broadcasting live from the greatest city in the world.
Austin, Texas, baby.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
You guys want to play some twos?
You know what? Actually, we're kind of in the middle of a conversation.
B&E.
What's B&E?
Bucky Godbolt, Aaron Hogan on the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260 and hornfm.com with the Longhorns Play and Austin Talks Sports.
You think we've gotten too radical with our message? Well, I got news for you. You ain't heard nothing yet. And if you don't know, now you know. Glory, glory.
Woo! Buck ons and buck offs on this Thursday morning. Another foggy morning, and it's going to be warmer and more humid today than it's been. Those rising temperatures then lead to some severe weather tomorrow as another cold front makes its way here in early November. It's going to meet that warm air, and we could have severe weather tomorrow night. And that's why, coming up in our Flex segment, bottom of the hour, we'll let you know there's a lot of high school games that were scheduled for Friday night. They're going to be moved to tonight just to get them in and make sure. And I heard Craig Way talking about it yesterday. Here, there's a handful of games, including Westlake and Buda Johnson, and Pflugerville Weiss has moved up their game with Hutto, Lehman and Hayes, and that neighborhood rivalry just to get ahead of it. But Craig said that up in the Metroplex, like most all the games are getting moved because The weather there is supposed to be maybe even worse than here Friday night. And it's the last week of the regular season, so the last thing you need is the suspensions and game doesn't get played, and now you have to play on a Saturday, and the playoffs start the following week for teams that are making it. So UIL and these districts saying, hey, let's get these games in, get them done tonight. So we'll get to that schedule coming up. So buck on to the forethought there. Buck on to the Astros. They are now alongside Don Larsen in World Series history. Christian Javier, three relievers, and along with Christian Vasquez behind the plate, the first World Series no-hitter in 70 years. Unbelievable what they did last night. We'll talk about it more. Ty Harrington been with us all morning, breaking it down why the fastball for Christian Javier is such an effective pitch and had the Phillies just swinging and missing all night long last night. We'll get back into that. Also, buck on buck off to this on Fox. A lot of people on the text line bucking off Fox because they were on the graphic, like they had, it was clear. It was like no hitter through five and a third, no hitter through five and two thirds. And everybody's like, you're jinxing the no hitter. What are y'all doing? Like going Mattress Mac, F you, Fox. What are y'all doing? Well, you got to remember, Fox is looking for ratings. And so if the game's 5-0. And a lot of people that are casual baseball fans, and the tune out factor will be high. You put on there that no hitter through five and a third, you keep some eyeballs saying, oh, we got a no hitter through five and a third. So old school baseball players and coaches are like, what are y'all doing? You're trying to jinx this on the Astros. Now they're just trying to make sure people knew. Don't go anywhere.
Yeah, trying to keep people plugged into the game. And how about Craig Way, speaking of just a second ago, texting you back. You were right. Mattress Mac did go to Texas, was on the 69 and 70.
Yeah, let me read this
national
directly
right?
From Craig Way. We were talking about Mattress Mac. We had some fun with him last hour. But Craig Way, of course, the all-knowing, texted that Mattress Mac was actually a student at UT and a football player.
Yep.
Who would have known? Who would have known that? On the roster, 69 and 70 national championship teams for Coach Royal, didn't play, then transferred to North Texas, played football there from 72 through 73. The Mean Green.
His football days came back in him. He was getting all bowed up and getting ready to wrestle, right?
Good for him. You said it right, though. He's the official, biggest Houston Astro fan out there. He's ready to fight anybody in Philly who are assaulting the character of his Houston Astros, which was pretty cool. I did not know he played on a team coached by Darryl Royal. I had no idea. That is really awesome to hear that little piece of factoid. And, of course, Craig Way finished up his college career at the University of North Texas as well. My daughter's at a Mean Green. So I got to think if he was there 72, 73, they weren't called the Mean Green then. What were they called? The Eagles?
I don't know. Just probably the Eagles then, I guess.
Because, of course, Mean Joe Green went to North Texas, and that's where my daughter actually in her first year stayed in the Joe Green Hall. That was her dorm. Mean Joe Green Hall.
I remember the commercials that back then. Wasn't that him? They had the Coke commercials.
Oh yeah,
wasn't that right?
Yeah, big 75 with the Pittsburgh Steelers. One of the greatest defensive linemen ever.
That's okay, kid, or whatever it was.
He threw him his jersey. One of the classic commercials of all time.
We may be showing our age.
Yeah, well, a little bit. Old man radio. Welcome to B&E and Ty and E. And here we go. We'll get Ty up in here because you ever see that commercial, Ty?
No.
You ever heard of Mean Joe Green?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
Look up
the commercial. It's great. It's classic back in the day. Classic last night as well. Also, I'm going to say buck on before we get to our headlines. Buck on to trades in the NFL. Can I just say I love these? This is really a cool thing. I'm glad the NFL is going here. You know, obviously teams are bucking the trend of holding on to these draft picks. And I'm going to say, how about the Miami Dolphins? This morning they have agreed to a new long-term contract with Bradley Chubb, the pass rusher they acquired at the deadline from the Broncos. And I was thinking about this, too. The Bears did this as well with Chase Claypool. They gave up a second-round pick to get Chase Claypool. And I'm looking at this thinking, you know, draft, we talk about the speculative nature of the draft, where like half of the, even the first-round picks, just half of them or just under half even get to a second contract. So it is such a crapshoot when you're drafting players. This is a trend I think you're going to see because the salary cap is going up. But if you're a team like the Bears or the Dolphins and you have a ton of salary cap room, why wouldn't you trade picks to acquire players you know can play? Like they've already proven, oh, this guy can play. Now, Bradley Chubb's biggest question is, can he stay healthy? He's been an injury problem. But if he's on the field, Bradley Chubb is a problem. So he's 24, 25 years old. He's not to the end of his first contract yet. So you give up some draft capital to take out the speculative part. We know this dude can play. That it's already been proven. We can watch the tape. He's an NFL player. We're going to get him. And then when you get him, you sign into the long-term contract.
He signed this morning.
Yeah, he did. That's what I'm saying. So you bring him in, and you have the cap space. Instead of going out in the offseason in the free agent market and taking guys that, you know, the best players rarely hit the free agent market, we'll trade for them because like a team doesn't want to, you know, sign the guy to the big deal. We'll give him the big money because we, like the Bears, have over $100 million in cap space. Well, now they bring in Chase Claypool. They lock him up, and guess what? When they get to the draft next April, they don't. They've already got the receiver. They don't have to speculate on which receiver to take. They can go other positions. I think that's a smart way to go, big picture, moving forward in the National Football League. But buck on to that. I love that we have like 10 trades on draft day, on trade deadline day. I thought that was pretty cool for the league.
I think that's showing, hey, we got a chance. The door's open.
Sure.
Let's go.
Well, and
we built it to get here, right?
That's right.
Let's take that last step.
But I think the Bears thing is for now and for the future. I even think the Bradley Chubb thing is for the now and for the future. It's, you know, pass rushers are a premium position. We're going to trade some draft capital to get one, sign him. He's ours. If the Broncos are willing to give him up, we'll go there. Yeah, we're going to give up some draft capital, but guess what? We know this guy can play. We now have a pass rusher. We can look at other things as we continue to build our roster. No, I think the Dolphins, theirs was about the now, too, because I think they feel like they're right there in the AFC. I don't think they're as good as Buffalo. I don't think they're going to beat Buffalo. But at the same time, they can beat the Patriots and the Jets, and they can put themselves in the playoffs with Tua, those receivers, and now an improved defense.
If you don't think you were good enough, maybe you just made yourself better and good enough to beat Buffalo, right? If not this year, then you're putting yourself closer the next year. And so I love the idea. I'm with you. I love the idea. You don't get very many moments where you go, okay, we're good enough, or we're really close, or the other team, if they have one injury, puts us even closer, whatever that might be. Embrace that moment and go.
Well, and I'm saying it because I think the Bears are more for the future with that move because they're not there yet. But I think more teams can copy that. Like, hey, we got 10 draft picks. How many of those guys are going to pan out and be good players? Why don't we use them to acquire players we know can play but are still 25 and under? We'll go get them and then lock them up, use our cap space that way. I think it's a smart way to build a roster. Let's get to your headlines. Trending topics. You know what the top story is. History in Philly last night. Top Gun Equipment Rentals bring it to you. And yeah, Philadelphia Astros needed a bounce-back performance after they got shellacked by the Phillies in Game 3, 7-0. And boy, did they ever get it. Houston bats broke out, broke a 16-game scoreless streak with a 5-run fifth inning. That was highlighted by an Alex Bregman big 2-run double that broke it open. Christian Javier then and 3 relievers combined to throw the second no-hitter in the history of the World Series, 118 years, the second time it's happened. Don Larsen, perfect game, 1956, and now the Astros last night. They get a 5-0 win over the Phillies. The 25-year-old right-hander Javier threw the first 6 no-hit frames. He struck out 9. Brian Abreu, Rafael Montero, and closer Ryan Pressly covered the final 3 and punched out 8 more. Houston evens the best of 7 series at 2 games apiece. Assures the series will be decided in Houston now over the weekend. And now it's the always pivotal Game 5 tonight in Philadelphia. Noah Syndergaard facing Justin Verlander, 7:03 first pitch. Now simultaneously tonight down in Houston, the two cities' NFL teams are going to meet to open up Week 9 in the National Football League. Thursday Night Football, undefeated Eagles facing the last place 1-5-1 Texans at NRG Stadium. It is a homecoming for the Eagles quarterback Jalen Hurts. He grew up not far away down in Channelview playing high school football for his dad there. It's his first game ever in that stadium tonight. High school football weekend also opens tonight. Full slate of Thursday night action, including a number of games previously scheduled for Friday that we mentioned that have been moved up a day because of weather. Well, before rundown of the games and the schedules coming up bottom of the hour in our Flex segment, college football, 24th-ranked Longhorns coming off the bye week, staring down a really season-defining couple-game stretch here. TCU in 2 weeks here in Austin, and of course, Saturday, Texas at Manhattan to face 13th-ranked Kansas State. 5-3 Longhorns currently in a tie for third place in the Big 12, along with Oak State and Baylor. The two teams ahead of them are their next two opponents. Steve Sarkisian says, stay focused on today, and we can still achieve our goals.
I've been fortunate to be on some pretty good teams, be part of some pretty good teams and pretty good programs. And the challenge is not to focus on December 3rd. It's to focus on this week and not get caught looking down the road, but give this week all of the attention that it deserves. And I think that's what the best teams do. They focus on the task at hand. They focus on what's right in front of them. And I think that our team is doing that really well right now. I don't think they're worried about what the outcome or the results will be a month from now or so. I think they're focused on playing a really good football team on the road Saturday night and what's going to be needed to go in there and get a win.
All right, so there's Steve Sarkisian. That game, 6 o'clock on Saturday night. Our pregame coverage goes live from Lavaca Street Bar on South Lamar, 2 o'clock on Saturday afternoon. Busy night in the NBA. Dallas beat up Utah, or held off Utah, 103-100. Luka Doncic, 31 points. That's his seventh straight 30-plus point game to start the season. New NBA record, surpassing Michael Jordan. Houston lost to the LA Clippers, 109-101.
Corn Headlines brought to you by Top Gun Rentals and Lawn Equipment. We got turkeys running scared and running for office this month. So come gobble up great deals on steel lawn equipment for fall at Top Gun. TopGun.net. We'll shoot you straight.
All right, back on to Bucky Godbolt. He's recovering from his surgical procedure on Tuesday, a thyroid issue he had, so he's still not ready. And it's really about his throat. They had to go in through his throat to do the procedure, he said, and so the ability to go 4 hours and talk and do what he has to do. He's feeling good, but he'll be back just as soon as he's ready to do it. And if not, until he's ready, Ty Harrington. I'm going to leave you with some gas money, too, because you're driving up 35 from New Braunfels.
How about
each day.
You can
stay at my guest house, yeah, guest room, I
guess. Yeah, say. And you could just leave me some Bud Light money. That'd be fine. Gas money, I'd rather just have it. I'd rather have paid out in Bud Light money. That's
we have a wedding in about 2.5 weeks that we're having. So I'm acquiring Bud Lights and I'm acquiring the booze, and it is going to be a bit of an open bar situation. So we're having some.
Well, T.Y. and I'll have to crash the
and actually, come on, both of y'all. And not crash, I'll invite you. But I said you could stay at our guest room. Actually, one of our two open rooms is like that. It's wedding central, so you really can't sleep in there. Everything is stacked into that room as we're a couple weeks out now for this big wedding. So excited about that into the Thanksgiving holiday. We're excited about the Astros last night. Hope Buck gets better, but it's been great having you in here the last couple days to help break down these games and how you see it from a coach's perspective. And obviously I was excited, and I've seen Christian Javier pitch most of his career. I remember when Javier came up and I saw him, I was thinking, he reminds me of Roy Oswalt a little bit. He's not a very big guy, but boy, does he get under that ball, and he, you know, it just flies out of his hand. I mean, it's just easy gas, as they say, effortless motion. That guy, and obviously he's developed. I mean, he's 25 years old. He was the guy that started the no-hitter in Yankee Stadium back in July. He was the first six innings of that ball game too. So this guy's got no-hit stuff every time, and you've broken it down really well that with the new age of baseball where the swing plane and the uppercut swing has become the rage trying to hit home runs, you know, his high fastball plays, that's a perfect match for the new swing plane path that people are going with.
Well, two things. If you go back and you watch him, he has that high break with his glove. So when he comes out, that glove goes up, and that creates that load with his hand below him. So he's got his hand below the glove, and then when he starts back up to the top of his delivery, he does a great job of pulling that hand through, and now all of a sudden that hand, his throwing hand's coming through the same angle and the same path as the
so
glove.
Kind of hides it a little bit?
Kind of a little bit of a hide, creates a little bit of deception, but now he's also along the way creating this angle. And what he does a great job is once he gets his hand to the top and gets his fingers over the top of the baseball, his timing is so beautiful that he's able to drive and power through the baseball and get to extension side and hang on to the baseball as long as he needs to. And then lastly, and it was a great question by one of your texters saying, what is the triangle? Well, I kind of, that was an old thing I made up myself kind of just for our guys, was the triangle part of it is the inside and the outside part of the plate is the bottom of the triangle. The top of the triangle is going to be somewhere at the top of the strike zone. But for people that are watching, the easiest thing to say is look at the catcher's mask. they're going to angle that ball at the top of right at his mask, and that you watch, and you know how many guys will, if they do that with a four seam rotation, staying on that same plane with power, with hop, with life, however you want to describe it, it is really hard for those hitters to hit, particularly guys that are going underneath that baseball, have a little bit of a launch angle, as you like to refer to it, or just a little bit of an uppercut trying to hit the ball and elevate the ball out of the ballpark. And I would love to know how many fastballs that Bryce Harper has swung under this year. And now, have the, if they're sitting out there watching with Verlander and tonight, have they, has he paid attention? I know he's paid attention. I know he's an alpha in between games and on the mound, too, by the way. But how many times he's going to try to go to the top of that triangle with his heater tonight?
Yeah, and what you'll see Verlander do tonight is copycat that and pitch up in the zone. I always talked, we talked earlier about Gerrit Cole. You know, when Gerrit Cole came in from Pittsburgh, and for maybe not the the most, you know, astute baseball guy, you just come into it here for the postseason. You know, the difference between a two-seam fastball and a four-seam fastball. Four-seam is going to rise and stay up. The two-seamer is thrown to sink and sink down in the zone. So you want to throw the low one, you mean the two-seamer down in the zone and let it sink out of the strike zone and away from the barrel. Obviously, the four-seamer is going to stay up. You know, when Gerrit Cole came to Houston and they really stressed him going to the four-seam fastball and keeping his ball up, that's when his career changed. I mean, that's when he became a $300 million pitcher because he could pitch up and then he would throw that ridiculous breaking ball off of it. So you're thinking, and look, if you're hitting a 99-mile-an-hour fastball, you got to get going early, and then he breaks that thing off and it drops into the – even if it drops into the strike zone, you're not hitting it. And we're going to see Verlander do the same thing. Verlander's problem in Game 1 was he owned the top of the zone on Friday night, first nine batters. Then he started to try to come back with some breakers, and his much like McCullers the other night, his breaking ball was not sharp. And he was leaving it over the middle of the plate, and that's when he got himself in trouble in the third inning and then again in the fifth.
Well, I think on top of, and let me say this, it doesn't have to be at the top, just at the top of the strike zone tonight. If you watched Christian Javier last night, he went to both sides of the plate, too, of that fastball. I mean, he was dotting that thing. Anywhere the catcher was set up, he was just absolutely dotting it. And he was, his delivery to that was so easy and so nice. And then all of a sudden, it's only 93 to 95 miles an hour, where tonight it's going to be a little bit more velo to it. You know, with Verlander, at least early, it should be a little bit more velo. But then you look at Alvarado, who comes in, and even, you know, that's 100 miles an hour, right? And you go back and you look at who was that trying to think? We were just talking about with the Astros that came in, that's going to be their closer of the future.
Brian Abreu.
Abreu, and oh, how filthy. Absolutely filthy, that 100
mile.
You're
not charging the mound on him either, by the way.
No, how about those shoulders? Yeah, he needs to go put some shoulder pads on and a helmet and go out there and play football. But it's 98 to 100 with a 91 slider?
Yeah.
I mean, that's incredible.
He's the closer of the future. I mean, they just signed Ryan Pressly, so he's there. But Brian Abreu, they don't project him as a starter. He doesn't have the third pitch yet. But, man, you see Abreu come out, that's an intimidating dude out on the mound. And he blew them away, struck out the side in the seventh, then it was Montero, and then it was Pressly to finish it up at the end. And to your point, and to finish the conversation on the launch angle swing, there wasn't a single ground ball hit off of Javier last night. They either struck out or popped out in that game. I mean, the infield did nothing until the ninth inning when Ryan Pressly came in the game.
Yeah, and 26 and 27 foul balls fouled back that they could not get solid contact. And when the contact was soft contact, which makes it easier and less stressful for your defenders and all the above. And again, it when you have that four-seam rotation, you're going to create, it's a fly ball moment at that point in time, strikeout-wise. And the other reason why I think strikeouts have gone up in professional baseball, it's a five-inning game for starters now. Sixth, seventh, and eighth and ninth innings are one-inning relief guys that come in. They're power airing arm. It out at 98 miles an hour with a power breaker. They're going to walk a guy in that inning, and it's whatever you do in between, whether they can strike you out or you can add in on that walk.
Good stuff right there with Ty Harrington talking baseball. Astros with the no-hitter in the World Series. That's historic, but more importantly, it was a win. That assures the series will move back to Houston this weekend, Saturday night, and possibly Sunday night. And we'll play tonight with Justin Verlander and Noah Syndergaard. Okay, so we got that. We got the football game down in Houston. I don't know where I'm going to stream this because I have to stream the Amazon. This is my issue. I can only get the Amazon in my living room. I like to sit in my front room and watch sports where I don't get Amazon. So I may not be watching much of the Eagles-Texans game.
The tablet computer thing in front of you, don't you?
I guess I could do that. But I have to be able, I don't have Amazon on my iPad yet. I'm to go get that today. I'll just go get it, download that, and then I'll be watching Jalen Hurts, the pride of Channelview, Texas, running all over the Houston Texans. I don't think that's going to be. Houston not only has a bad team, they also now have this soap opera thing with Brandon Cooks, apparently, where he's gone Deshaun Watson, like, he's not a massage pervert, but he wanted to be traded. They didn't trade him. The Cowboys couldn't work out the money. But now he's not practicing this week because they didn't trade him. He also is mad, apparently, that they fired Jack Easterby, who was the front office guy that everybody hated, but apparently Brandon Cooks liked him a lot. I don't know. Houston's going to get smashed tonight.
Yeah, when things are going terrible, it just attracts worse.
And the Eagles are really, really good. And the Eagles are smelling blood now. They look at this thing and say, you know what? We go in here and spank this bad Houston team. We get extra time off, almost like a second bye week here. It's a short week going on the road. But fortunately for the Eagles, your short week going on the road is in Houston. So you should be able, with Jalen Hurts and the way they're playing right now, there's some intriguing matchups. I think the young Derek Stingley, the corner, against A.J. Brown will be fun to watch a little bit tonight. Houston's got some good young players. Baylor fans will watch Jalen Petrie, the safety, wearing number 5 for Houston. He's been a really good rookie. Houston's got some nice young pieces. You know, it's why if they continue to lose and end up with the number 1 pick, and remember, they also have the Browns pick in the first round in the Deshaun Watson trade, so they could end up with 2 top 10 picks. That's what they need, is to go get a quarterback like a C.J. Stroud or a Bryce Young. And they need, you know, weaponry, but they're so far away from what the Eagles are. The Eagles have the best roster in the NFC, and their lines of scrimmage are going to dominate Houston. Jalen Hurts, I mean, this won't be a close game.
Hey, I like Houston in the points tonight.
What is it?
14.
The aspiring one just came out from behind the glass with his prediction.
It's been a few days since I've given the people.
I don't know that either.
To work with.
How about this?
Well, let me just say this: the Texans played their best offensive game 2 weeks ago with the Vegas Raiders. They scored like 31 points. They haven't come close to that all year. Then they turned around and played the Tennessee Titans last week, and the Tennessee Titans started Malik Willis at quarterback, who they knew wasn't going to throw the ball, and they still had no idea how to stop Derrick Henry. It was a ridiculous defensive game plan. They didn't want any part of Derrick Henry coming downhill at them. And this is just as physical of a Philadelphia run game. I just think it's a complete mismatch. I don't know about the 14 points, but I don't think this is ever – and remember, the Eagles have been blowing people out. I mean, the Eagles make quick work of people, make some adjustments, and they beat you down. So I like the Eagles tonight going away, but you know, we'll keep our eye on it over on the iPad.
I think it'll be fun to watch. I mean, I look, it's the NFL, right? If you're a big NFL person, you know, you got to sit and watch it. But I guess I would ask you this question. One, because we talked about Jalen Hurts, and I'd have so much respect for how that guy has made himself a professional NFL quarterback in a league where, in college, the same, where it's a quarterback-driven league. That guy took his athleticism and his mindset and has made himself an NFL quarterback. But
maybe he's a midseason MVP.
Yeah, I mean,
not just an NFL quarterback, one of the best in this league.
Yeah, I think that, man, I just think he's done some unbelievable things for himself and now for the team. And the Eagles, and power to the Eagles, they saw that, right? They knew something about him, whether it was through Saban, whether it's through Lincoln Riley or the people in his background, his dad, that assured them, hey, you give him the time and he's going to make it work. He's going to, you know, adjust himself to be an NFL quarterback, which may be one of the hardest things in the world to do. But kind of an offset question is, what do you think the crowd would be like if you're a suite owner?
There.
I mean, if you're a 50-yard line owner of a Texan game,
that's the other part. There will be no one there,
right? And if you got your phone in front of you, right?
No, the apathy there is through the roof. They're going to be all watching the Astros game. I mean, come on.
I would be too.
That's an Astros town. There will be no one there.
Yeah,
it'll look like the Rice UTEP game,
the Houston Dynamo game.
Yeah, I mean, it's not going to be pretty for them. And I will say this about the Eagles. I mean, consider this: they're 7-0 this year. They're likely to be 8-0 tonight. I know Cowboy fans don't want to hear it. You know, they won, you know, 4 of their last 5 a year ago, and the loss was to the Cowboys in that Week 18 game that didn't mean anything to either team because both teams were going to the playoffs. Remember when Philadelphia played Dallas? So if you take out that Week 18 game with the Cowboys, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, they won 6 of 7 to end last year, the regular season. They're 7-0 this year. So you're 13-1. Jalen Hurts is 13-1 in his last 14 regular season starts. I mean, this is a big time team and they're better than they were a year ago.
I think if you went and watched some video of him in high school, and of his freshman and sophomore year at you know, at Alabama when he started playing. I guess it was a sophomore year he started playing, and his throwing motion. It was a lot deeper, a lot further. You know, as the ball was coming down, out or coming out first lower, then up quicker. You know, later on in his career, getting a little bit up to his ear quicker, and then just the way the ball spins out of his hand now, and the way it gets to it, and
you
him
can tell
understanding.
It's rep after
That's right.
rep after
That's
rep.
Right.
Well, and we said this earlier that Jalen Hurts is one of the harder workers. It's what the Eagles loved about him. It's what Nick Saban loved about him. Lincoln Riley couldn't talk enough about his leadership and his work ethic. He's the son of a football coach.
Yeah.
Who grew up in a football coach's house and was a power lifter. In high school, like one of the best in the state. So, you know, the work ethic to that, while you're playing football, to get up and get your lifts in, and, you know, his attention, you've seen that. He's worked his way into being a great quarterback in the National Football League, and I think Houston's going to be the...
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Buck ons and buck offs all morning. I got a buck on from a buddy that says, buck on to Ty Harrington. Even if Bucky's healthy and ready tomorrow, he's got to come back. It's a luck thing now.
Yeah.
It's a baseball luck thing.
Oh, baseball,
now too.
Yeah.
You need to come back.
Well, I'll tell you what, if Bucky comes back tomorrow, I'll just drive up here and drink coffee with Bucky for a minute, and then I'll go back to work.
We need you, man. No, it's a luck deal now. Don't mess with a winning streak. Okay, also some buck-ons. How about to the parents of Christian Javier, A, for having him, birthing him back in the day, but apparently the night before the start, his mother told him, you're going to pitch a no-hitter. Yeah. He told him, you're going to throw a no-hitter. He's like, what? Oh, yeah, we feel it. And so, way to go, Ma. Mama always knows. I'd also say this. We gave him the buck on earlier, but the Astros, unfortunately, they just lost one of their scouts, Oz Ocampo. He was their team director of international scouting, 2012 to 2017. Remember, think about that when he took over in 2012. The Astros were among the worst organizations in baseball, period, in 2012. And Oz Ocampo, as in that role of team's director of international scouting, signed Christian Javier, Framber Valdez, Luis Garcia, and Jose Urquidy for a combined $140,000.
Do you think he's not watching these games, looking at it and going, man, I did okay with this, right? I think I came out all right.
And I think he was the guy that signed Brian Abreu out of the Dominican.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, gosh, this is, now he just left, by the way, Ocampo, to take a front office gig with the Miami Marlins, but gosh, what a stud. Buck on to him. Buck on, if you're a Washington Commanders fan, to Daniel Snyder. Snyder has hired the Bank of America Securities to consider potential transactions. Apparently, he's on his way to selling this franchise. Net value right now, about $6.5 billion.
Oh.
So the NFL, of course, the owner's pushing to get him out.
So does that mean if I win
the Powerball
at $1.5 billion, will somebody give me, can I go find enough partners we could go over, we can buy it?
Billions and
no.
Billions.
You know, he goes, Uncle Sam's going to take his chunk of that half, and then you're down. And we'll see. I mean, unfortunately, Daniel Snyder has owned it for a couple decades, but and run it into the ground. But at the same time, that is a jewel of a franchise.
It is.
In our nation's capital, one of the fastest-growing areas in the country, huge and tremendous long-term fan base. They need a new stadium, though, because he built a dump when he first got there. But it looks like they're considering all options in selling that team, so that could be a buck on or a buck off. And the question is, does it get ugly? Remember, there was a story out of ESPN with Daniel Snyder threatening, I got stuff on you guys, too. Don't be coming after my team. I know what you're up to, Jerry Jones and Robert Kraft and Roger Goodell. I got you guys. And now it seems like he's cooler heads have prevailed here, and he's maybe going a different direction.
Could you imagine sitting in some of those owners' meetings, though, and they're sitting back there drinking
on their super
scotch, and then they got their cigars rolling, some of the conversations that come out of there?
Oh, man. You think the luxury boxes at UT football games are story-worthy until you get into those deals. All right, let's get to the Flex segment. It is Buck on a Thursday, because just after 8:30 on this show every morning, it's Flex 30.
Flex ATX for the best high school sports coverage. Listen to the horn and go to FLXATX.com. Flex 30 is brought to you by Brain Vault. Brain Vault is a revolutionary and patented mouth guard that has been proven to help reduce the risk of concussion. Visit BrainVault.com and join the movement.
Flex 30. One thing on that, Daniel Snyder, you know who has whispered about getting into an ownership group is Peyton Manning. Because they're going to want like $8-10 million for that team, by the way. $8-10 mil.
I don't think he'd have a hard time going out and finding partners.
Peyton could get the partners
to make
that happen, and he could be the face of the franchise. And then, of course, soon enough, they'd have the number one pick. Right about time Arch is ready to move out from Texas. You know what I mean? I've already got this figured out.
You are way ahead of everybody else.
Oh, yeah. I got this one. No, I'm just kidding. All right, let's get to your flex schedule. The biggest story is the moved games. I mean, if you're a youngster or you're in the band, your youngster's in the band, and you had a Friday night game, you may have a Thursday night game now because games have been moved. As we've talked about, the Westlake game with Buda Johnson was a Friday game. It's now tonight at 7:30. Actually, I've heard they moved it up to 7. Westlake and Buda Johnson. Check your local listings. That is, you know, that game doesn't mean much for either team. Buda's not, Johnson's not going to the playoffs. Westlake is the number one seed and the number one team in the state. By the way, we'll say this for Westlake tonight. If they get it, 50 in a row. 50 in a row. Your dad coached high school football on his way to college. Can you even imagine 50 consecutive wins?
No, I mean, but now, no, I can't. But after, you know, been around Todd Dodge for a long time and knowing how great of a coach he is, and but still 50, that's more than impressive. T.Y.,
that's pretty good, my friend. 50.
He's hyped up about that. With a grin on his face right now, right?
I wish I started it, but.
Yeah. Also tonight, you got Leander and Eastview. That was a regularly scheduled Thursday ball game. Canyon and Wagner, your coach down there in the Braunfels Canyon.
Yeah, Coach Bush, yeah.
Doing good stuff. Hendrickson and College Station tonight. Crockett and LBJ, Northeast and Navarro. Also, the Hayes game with Lehman has been moved to Thursday night, and there's several others. So keep an eye on your local listings. In that LBJ game tonight against Crockett, we've told you that the dynamic running back Cedric Alexander needs a mere 88 yards, I believe is the number, to set the all-time AISD rushing record, career rushing record. That's a pretty big deal. And obviously LBJ, we've talked about that a lot, Coach. I know you heard us talking about it.
Yep.
LBJ really should, they're playing up in 5A to, you know, just because the AISD wants it that way. They really shouldn't be playing the losses and the East Views and, you know, East Early College. I mean, it's
tough.
Really a mismatch. And Coach Fenner's trying to get a team ready for the playoffs, and they're having to take knees in the second half, and they've got 88 points on the board by halftime. That's a real challenge.
It is a challenge. And for him to prepare his team moving forward and then not look back trying to run the score up. And, you know, there's so many dynamics of that to make it tough. Who would they grab first round?
The LBJ?
Yeah.
Well, let's get to next week, and then we'll have that all sorted out.
That's right. I'm sorry.
But, 66 yards is all Cedric needs. He might get that.
He's
going to
get that in the first
Crockett
series.
Crockett Cougars, though, out of South Austin, they'll be putting up a fight tonight.
What do you think his yards per carry is this year? Because he only gets 6 or 7 carries a game for 180 yards. I'd imagine it's probably 25, 30 yards a carry.
Also this weekend and tonight and tomorrow night, big games. The district 25-6A, we know Vandergrift and Round Rock are the top two seeds in that district. But below them, Manor, Cedar Ridge, Vista Ridge, all jockeying for those final two spots. So there'll be big games this weekend. Vista Ridge, if they were to lose to Round Rock, as many expect, it could come down to a three-way points differential. So get out your calculators, points differential between Manor, Cedar Ridge, and Vista Ridge to get into the playoffs out of District 25-6A. So we'll be counting those. Also, Georgetown is at Cedar Park in a matchup of a couple of red-hot teams. Big-time games this weekend. That's for the playoff position 1 in 11-5A. Cedar Park got off to that really tough non-district schedule and lost, but boy, they're coming on strong. The Timberwolves playing very, very good. So we're going to have some fun games this weekend. And, Westlake looking for 50 in a row. And
half a hundy.
That's amazing. And they're having seen that team up close, they're going to be really hard to beat. I mean, obviously you'll get into the playoffs and you'll see these really good teams along the way. But, their defense is so good. I mean, Tony Salazar now taking over for Todd Dodge, and he was the defensive coordinator. They just they don't give up much. They suffocate you on defense, and then you're throwing to Jaden Greathouse and, Kubenka receiver, and you're handing it off to the little guy Kaiser. I mean, they're really, really going to be tough to beat.
Someone from Kansas State needs to give Kaiser a
call. Yeah, because they had Darren Sproles. Now they have little Deuce Vaughn. And now you get Jack Kaiser up in there. Is anybody recruiting Jack Kaiser?
I think he's very
Where's Coach Spav? We get Spav on Jack Kaiser.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you what. I listened to Craig and him when they're interviewing these high school coaches, and I learned a lot listening to him. Salazar, I do. I enjoy from a coach speak, right? I like to hear. I do. And I love to absorb as much as I can, and boy, it's enlightening. It's fun. Same as it used to be when Todd was on there, and you get in a conversation with Todd Dodge, you're going to come out of there feeling, you're enlightened. You're like, hey, I didn't know that, or I just learned that. But no matter what sport it is, by the way, whether it's football, golf, or baseball, or whatever it might be.
And while we're on the flex and we're talking Westlake, I feel buck off to the Indianapolis Colts. They've made Sam the starter, Sam Ehlinger. They fired his offensive coordinator. One start in. They traded Nyheim Hines. And Jonathan Taylor's still hurt. And now they have to play Bill Belichick. Come on, man.
Yeah, that is a
come on, man. Colts. They got to play Bill Belichick? You know what Bill Belichick does to young quarterbacks, and now you don't have one of your top weapons at running back in Hines. Your offensive coordinator just got canned. Are you trying to set this guy up to fail, or what are we doing here?
Yeah, that's going to be tough on Sam, and that's almost unfair. But you know he's not looking at it that way. He's looking at, here's my moment.
Here's my
opportunity, right? That's how his mind works and how his heart works. And so, but you're right, that's a tall order.
The cream always rises to the top.
It does. No, you're right.
You know, Bill Belichick,
spoken
really.
From a true Westlake
and
man.
And Bill Belichick,
right
that
too,
team,
right?
that team has issues on offense, but they're still a Bill Belichick defense.
Yeah,
I saw what they did to young Zach Wilson, the Jets quarterback, last week. That kid, speaking of seeing ghosts, he didn't know what to do. He would scramble out of the pocket and run to the right, and one time he almost ran out of bounds. He was just like, "What are you doing, young guy?" But yeah, Bill Belichick has made Hall of Fame quarterbacks look rough, and that's what Sam will deal with. And he's got to whoever the new offensive coordinator is. I mean, can't be. There's no continuity.
It's
got
to be Frank Reich.
Yeah, I'm assuming Frank Reich's coming in. They're keeping the same playbook essentially and game plan, but it'll be Frank Reich calling the plays, which may be an upgrade. We'll see. All right, we'll come back. There's your Flex 30 updates, and get over to flxatx.com for all the latest. Big games tonight. Big games into the weekend, and here's Craig Way.
Where you get that from? Did Tawana tell you that? Did Tawana tell you that? Because I ain't for no games, okay?
No games, just gossip, brought to you by Bud Light. You know, last night was the tastier Bud Lights. Tuesday night watching the Astros and Phillies was painful. I needed them to drown my sorrows. Last night, woohoo, no-hitter time. Salacious gossip brought to you by the Bud Lights. Ty will be having a few Bud Lights this weekend at the Wurst Fest.
I will.
That's a good idea. It starts Friday down there in New Braunfels.
It does. 10 of the greatest days of the year.
10 days of good times, and you can walk back and forth from where you live.
That is an important correct, yes.
So do it with the Bud Light, the official domestic beer partner of the Texas Longhorns, the Texas X's, and good times in Austin, Texas. We'll be having a good time on Saturday. Harge and Rod and myself on the pregame will be at Lavaca Street Bar down on South Lamar, watching Georgia, Tennessee, and getting ready for Texas and K-State. So make sure you come on out to that and have yourself a nice cold Bud Light, whatever you're doing this weekend. We had Tom Gimbel with the live music update. Anybody go see Carrie Underwood last night? Anybody go see Carrie Underwood and those
I'd had to been on the first row if I would have gone.
Carrie and company, but whatever you're doing, do it with the ice cold Bud Lights. Hey, Jerry Jones in a bit of trouble on this National Sandwich Day. National Sandwich Day. We've all, by the way, consensus agreed that a hot dog nor a hamburger is a sandwich. Okay? We're not going there.
Okay.
Burger is a burger. It's got its own category. And a hot dog is a hot dog. Now, what about if you get like a McGriddle from McDonald's? That's a sandwich.
Breakfast sandwich.
Yeah, breakfast sandwich. Yeah.
Thank you very much. But it's kind of like a burger.
Yeah, I mean, this is an argument that will never end.
Never end. The never-ending argument. But I'm officially going to have a sandwich today. There is no doubt about that. I love a good sandwich, especially for lunch.
I'm going for multiple ones today.
Ooh, multiple sandwiches.
It was National Sandwich Day. I'm going to celebrate.
All right, Jerry Jones in some hot water because, of course, he's a tone-deaf billionaire sometimes. So he did dress up for Halloween. We told you this. And he went not only as an NFL referee, but he went as a blind referee. So he had his referee jersey on or shirt, the stripes, and then he had a cane and he had his sunglasses on. So the 80-year-old billionaire owner of the Cowboys went as a blind referee. Well, of course, he offended people. You got to go to sensitivity training. Who's getting on him here? Blind.org. Blind.org. Not happy. Chris Danielson, their director of PR, says anyone who perpetuates the stereotype is harmful, pointing out that nearly 70% of blind people are unemployed. See? Jerry, come on, man. You're going to go with Bucky and I to sensitivity training.
Is the 30% that is employed by the NFL?
I don't know. They're going to die. Oh, boy. Think Jerry cares at all? A little bit? No. Probably not. Also, at the game last night, you know who all the Philly fans are blaming for the no-hitter loss? Jill Biden. They're all mad that Jill Biden was there, and she threw out the first pitch, apparently. They're mad at Jill Biden. You can't come back. You're not welcome back. Bruce Springsteen was there, too. They're not mad at him. No. Miles Teller was there.
They're going to welcome the boss in there.
The boss was there. I didn't know he was a Phillies fan. I thought he'd be like a Yankee, he's a Jersey guy. Yeah. Now, Jersey's right across the river there, I get it. But same time, I didn't know. Springsteen a Phillies fan, really? Let's go to your Blitz.
The Bucky and E Blitz.
The Morning Blitz, brought to you by Apple Leasing, where you only have to pay for the new half of the car or truck, the half under factory warranty, in any make, any model. Click appleleasing.com and see how easy it is.
First Blitzer, you're up on a Thursday.
Like a great Blitzer would say, oh, man, I got nothing. This is Amazon Prime and Thursday Night Football.
And the Phillies bats last night. Next Blitzer, you're up.
Yeah, Bucky's never coming back. He's my moist maker. This is Pam Cummings.
Hello, Pam. Next Blitzer, you're up.
Hello, Mr. Hogan.
Hello.
Good morning, sir. We've been busy here at NASA contemplating a new business model. We're considering selling donuts now after seeing how much Philly enjoyed theirs last night.
Oh, donuts. Lots of them. Next Blitzer, you're up.
I'll see your five homer shutout and raise you one historic no-hitter. How you like us now, Jizz?
Mattress Matt calling in. Next Blitzer, you're up.
E.
Yes.
Tell Dusty Baker if he wants to get his ring, don't play the choker. Go with Sweaty Balls Valdez.
Verlander on the hill tonight. Next Blitzer, you're up. Well, next Blitzer, you are up.
Hey, Aaron, I got a suggestion for tomorrow to boost your ratings.
Thank you.
Get Ty, and get Monty in studio, and let's make us guess who's who.
All right, next Blitzer, you're up.
Down the stretch they come. The truth for the OC at Manhattan.
All right, last Blitzer on a Buck Off Thursday. Bring it strong.
Hey, Jerry Jones, you did a terrible job being the...
Oh, no. What happened? Broke up right at the punchline.
Let's go!
All right, thank you very much. Coming up, we have a lot to do. We're going to check in. Are we talking to Greg Swindell next hour?
Yeah, he's going to come on.
He is. Good buddy. You're one of your best friends.
Former Astro.
Former Astro.
And fan of Astros.
Hey, listen, I was a big fan of that when they signed he and, who was it? Same free agent cycle.
Yeah, the guy from Victoria.
Danny,
I can't believe his son pitched in the big leagues, too. I can't think of his name.
Why can't we think of this?
Yeah, because I'm over 55, and it'll come back to me in a minute.
It'll come back to us in a minute. Will. And Greg Swindell will remind us.
Yeah, I'm sure he will.
Because Drayton McLean had just bought the team. He's trying to make everybody happy, so he signed Greg. And
he pitched for the Pittsburgh.
I know.
He
was, the text line will light up with this here in a moment, and we appreciate that. Yep. But we'll talk to Greg. We're also going to make picks. Dave, Paul, and Pluckers. We're going head-to-head. Five big college football games of the weekend. Ty, I need your help on that. Also, more fun and buck-ons and buck-offs on B and E.